Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned, He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my own. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, the Almighty God, the Son of God, shouldst die for me?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Ryan. Too bad those old songs have lost all their relevance. Amen. Too bad. No, those old hymns pack a punch. Always have, always will. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. One more after today. One more, at least I think. One more after today, okay? You can blame people that I get texts from. I'm getting texts from a guy in Georgia. Man, I'm really enjoying these. So y'all can blame him, okay? These and God messages. Genesis chapter 1, let's stand together if you're able. Beginning with verse number 14, we'll read some of what we read last week. Genesis chapter 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them. And there's our three-word phrase this morning in verse 17, and God set. Father in heaven, would you please help us today as we look again at your word? Thank you for the deep, deep well that it is. It never runs dry. I pray for your anointing, your power, your help this morning. I pray, God, that as I speak, you might take the words, that they might be your words, words that came from, Lord, this book, and that you'll anoint and bless them as only you can and touch our hearts with them. We all need a visit from you today. May we receive it. We pray that we'll receive your word with tenderness, meekness of heart. And Lord, I pray that you'll work. In Christ's name, and amen. Thank you, and be seated. No wonder when you come to day number 7 that Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2 says, He, talking about God, rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. I'm glad to read that God had been busy. We've learned so far in chapter 1 that God said, God saw, God divided, God called, and God made. Now people, God didn't need to rest because He was tired. Because God never slumbers, God never sleeps. He doesn't need a nap. But He rested in the sense that He was done. He was finished with the work, and the work was ended, okay? And that's why Genesis 2:2 says what it says. Now, another thing that God did during the work of creation is found in verse 17. We finished our reading there this morning where the Bible says, and God set. For those of you joining us who haven't been here for the last several weeks, we're looking at those two words found 28 times in Genesis chapter 1, and God, and God, and God, and God. There ought to be no confusion, there ought to be no doubt in anybody's mind or heart that it was God and only God involved in the work of creation. God and only God. So, and God, and God, and God, and God. Now, in verse number 17, we're looking at the three words, and God set. Last week, we looked at the words, and God made. And what He made in verse 15, 16, and so forth, is the sun, the moon, and the stars, and He made them to bring order and to bear light to the earth. But He didn't just make the sun, moon, and stars. The Bible says that He set them in the firmament of the heaven. The word set means what you think it would mean. It means put. It means placed. So God set the sun. God set the moon. God set the stars in their place. Now, folks, do you realize that the sun and the moon, for instance, have been in the place that they are now for 6,000 plus years, give or mind. Give or take a few. They've been in that same place. God set them in the heavens, and that has been their place. One truth that we see in all areas of creation is that God is all about order. God is all about structure. There's no room for happen chance with God. Things always do best when they stay where they are set. Things always do best when things stay where they are placed. Now, I understand that the sun, moon, and stars are not humans with souls. They don't have minds that think. They don't have emotions that feel. They don't have a will that decides or chooses. The sun, moon, and stars are not made in the image of God like mankind is. But as humans, we can learn a lesson from them about the benefit of staying in the place God has set us. Now, let me just take the family as an example this morning, and just quickly, this won't be the bulk of the message, but just an example for us. God has set the man to be the head of his home. And one of the positive comments that God made about Abraham is found in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, where the Bible says, "For I know him," about Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him." In Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15, he said, "But as for me and my house, we, speaking for his house, will serve the Lord." In 1 Timothy 3, verses 4, 5, and 12, the qualifications for pastor and deacon include that they must, and I'm quoting now, rule their homes. Rule their houses. You say, "Boy, that's an archaic word." It's a Bible word. It's a good word. Now, people, there is no debate. There is no question. There is no argument. God set man as the head of his household. He did that. Also, God has set the woman to follow her husband. This is not something that man just makes up to preach. I told my Sunday school class this morning, I was thinking this past week, I am so thankful that I don't have to sit there with a notebook in my house and an open, just sit there with an open notebook dreaming of something to say to the church that assembles on Sunday. In fact, Jeremiah 23 talks about that. Talks about the preachers who just preach their own dreams. And said it's like chaff, worthless. No sustenance, no substance, no nourishment. Now, I don't have to sit in my recliner with a lap desk and an open notebook and dream up something to say. I've got a book with words that came from God. And I can say to you, let's look at this. When I say to you that God has set the woman to follow her husband, that's not something that myself or anybody else just dreamed up over and over again. Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." Colossians 3:18, he repeats that word for word. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." Titus 2:5, he says the wives need to be obedient to their own husbands. And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, he says, "You wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." There is no argument. There's no debate. There is no matter to talk about, folks. God set the woman as the subordinate in the marriage relationship. That's where God set her. God set the man to be the leader. God set the woman to be the subordinate. I know that's not a positive message in the minds of some people today. I know that's not politically correct. But I'm not concerned about Springfield or Washington, D.C. or any of those goofballs in Hollywood. None of them. It's what this book says that matters. This has nothing to do with a man being more important than his wife, a wife being less important than her husband. Do you see in verse number 16 that God made two great lights? The bigger one, the greater one, the bigger one, he put to rule the day, and the lesser one, the smaller one, he put to rule the night. They were both important, they were both great, and they were both set where God put them. There's no random here. There's no creation and just say, "You guys find a place to sit." No, God set them. He put them in their place, put them in their proper order, if you will. And He set the kids. Let's talk about the family once more. He set the kids in a place of submission to their parents. Genesis 18:19, Abraham will command his children. You mean tell them what to do? Yes. You mean with like you expect them? I mean command. Oh, well, swell up like a bullfrog in a hailstorm. Doesn't matter. It's what God said. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 22:6, dads, moms, train up a child in the way he should go. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, bring them, the children, up. 1 Timothy 3:4, the pastor and the deacons have to have their own children in subjection. And maybe the greatest passage in all of the Bible about this very subject is Luke chapter 2, verse 51, where Jesus Himself, as a 12-year-old, returned to Nazareth and was in subjection to his own parents, to Joseph and Mary. I mean, the greatest example. There's no debate, there's no argument. God set the kids in a place of submission and obedience to their parents. God set the sun. God set the moon. God has set the men. God has set the women. God has set the children. God has placed and put the members of a family in a proper and orderly position. Stay in your place. You know, a lot of times we use this to holler at the women. Stay in your place. I'm going to tell you, who needs to be hollered at is the men. Don't abandon post, men. Stay in your place. God set you. Said many, many times, all it takes is being a male, as far as gender goes, to bring a child into this world. It takes a man to bring one up. A man to bring one up. Stay in your place. You know, the sun, the moon have stayed in their place for all of these years. And people, we don't stop to think about it. Tomorrow morning, I doubt any of us will stop to think that Monday morning we will have order and we will have light because the sun and the moon have stayed where they were put. I understand the clouds may block the view of the sun. It is February in Illinois. But the sun will be there. And it will be there Tuesday, and it will be there Wednesday, and it will be there Thursday, and so on and so on. And you know why the sun is there? Because God set it there. And the moon, the earth's moon has been our moon for all of these years, and the earth's moon has the same effect on our planet that it has had for all of these years, and it will tomorrow, and it will Wednesday, and it will Friday, and it will next week and next month because God put it there. Set it there. Now you show me a home with a man who is a caring leader, with a wife who is a contented follower, and with kids who are consistently obedient, and I'll show you the results of everybody being set where God placed them. This is just speculation. This is just off the top of my head. There's nothing to substantiate this except for 39 years of experience in ministry, which is people, about 75% of our home problems could be fixed if everybody just stayed put. Men, women, and children. Stay put. Stay in your place. You show me a home like that, I won't show you this lack of fulfillment and this lack of enjoyment. I'll show you just the opposite. I'll show you a family blessed of God. Now, what happens when someone is not content with the place they have been given? What happens when someone is not content with where they have been set, if you will? I want to show you tonight, this morning. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Let me show you the classic example of someone who was set in a particular place and yet was not happy to stay there. So go in the Old Testament. If you're learning the books of the Bible, if you turn to Psalms and keep turning to your right, you're going to go through Isaiah and Jeremiah, and then you're going to come to Ezekiel. There's 48 chapters. Find chapter 28 in the book of Ezekiel. And I want to show you something here in this passage. I think some of you have seen this before, but for others, maybe it will be new to you. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28, and look at verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I talked about that in Sunday school this morning. The Bible tells us that Ezekiel did not just wake up one day and decide, man, I feel good. I think I'll write some Bible. The word of the Lord came to him. Take up a pen and write or say, Son of Man, verse 12, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Who is this king of Tyrus? Well, let's find out. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are a perfectly wise creation. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Could that possibly be a human being? Well, if it's a human being, who was in the garden? Adam. Okay. Who else was in the garden? Eve. Who else was in the garden? The serpent. Let's keep reading. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. You ever known a man like that? You may have a nice husband, ladies, but come on. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. So this is a created being. Well, maybe it is Adam. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. Another name for angel. Was Adam an angel? No. Only Terry is an angel. I told you what Mom used to say about me and Tim and Tom. You boys have halos held up by two horns. Ask her how she knew that. And anyway, thou art the anointed cherub, verse 14, and I, who's speaking here? God, have set thee. So, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Often in the Bible, the word mountain is typical of a kingdom. So you've got this angelic being who was the creation of God, who was full of wisdom, sealed up the psalm, perfect in beauty, this beautiful creation of God. He was a musical being. Tabrets and pipes were in him. Let's keep reading in verse 14. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, I believe with all of my heart. That is a reference to the very throne room of God. So this beautiful anointed cherub, created by God, full of beauty, full of wisdom, the sum, sealed up the sum. People, this is just my take on this, okay? So this could be disputed. But it sounds like to me that Lucifer, this angelic being, may have been the most beautiful of all of God's creation. When you add it all up together, he sealed up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. These musical sounds coming out of him. And God set him in his own kingdom, in God's kingdom, if you will, right by the throne. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. But God created this beautiful angelic creature. And God set him. Now you've got the throne of God. I believe the right hand of the Father sits Jesus Christ. And there's the Holy Spirit there in the throne room. You've got the triune God, Father, Son, Spirit. And you've got one other being that is the sum of everything. He is the most wonderful of all God's creation. And He is set right there. Boy, you think He'd be content with that. You think He'd look around at all the other creations that were angelic beings, Michael, Gabriel, all the others, and He would think, wow. Wow. But that's not how it went. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Now turn back to your left if you're getting familiar with your Bible, Isaiah chapter 14. And look with me here what we learn a little bit more about Satan. That's why I told the class this morning, you can't learn anything. You can't take one verse or one passage and build a doctrine on it. You have to cross-reference and compare Scripture to Scripture. Lucifer wasn't content in his place. Look with me beginning at verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven? Isaiah 14:12. O Lucifer, son of the morning. That's a reference to the angelic creation. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Where else can he go in heaven, folks, but the throne? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You know what happened to Lucifer? God set him in that wonderful place. He was close to the throne, closer than any other created being, I believe with all of my heart. But he was not content to stay in his place. And through the pride of his heart, Lucifer willed himself to move from his appointed set place. And the result is obvious. The anointed cherub became the devil. Because he wasn't content in his place. He wasn't set. But people, let's not be too hard on him. Because too many of us, too many of God's human beings are not content with how God or where God has set us. And that's so dangerous. Now you take the combination, if you will, of last Sunday morning's message. And then you take that combination last Sunday morning and today. And you understand, folks, that this combination, all here in Genesis chapter 1, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all of this, the combination of this makes for a very happy and fulfilled life. God made the sun. He made the moons. He made the moon. He made the stars. He made them with purpose. He made them with design. He made them with intelligence. He made them with wisdom. He made them with care. And then God set them in a place to carry out His purpose. It was not random. It was not random. And people, God made you and God made me. And then God set us in a place so that we might carry out His purpose and His design. God made us on purpose and with a purpose. You know, I read this past week where someone said there are two great moments in a person's life. The first great moment is when they are born. The second great moment is when they figure out why they were born. Two great moments. Purpose and place. Purpose and place. There's no one in this room who, first of all, is random when it comes to being made. I covered that last Sunday. If you're a living, breathing human soul, you're made on purpose. We talked that last Sunday. And you're not made without a purpose. Every one of us. A great purpose that God designed us for. Not just made us on purpose, but He made us with purpose. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13 this morning, into your New Testament now. We're just kind of bouncing around a little bit. I don't even have any points this morning because, man, you know, sometimes these truths just, poof, they just overwhelm. It's hard to kind of put them in point and outline form. But in Acts chapter 13, there is a great statement made in this chapter about the man David. And I want you to find verse number 36. If you're getting new to your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then the book of Acts. Find chapter 13. Stephen is preaching on the... Paul is preaching here. And he says in Acts chapter 13, look at verse 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. We read that too quickly. David had two great moments in his life. The first one was the day he was born, and the second one was the day when he figured out why he was born. He served his own generation by the will of God. Folks, no matter what our vocation is, everyone in this room has been made by God with a specific purpose of doing His will. You've been made on purpose with a purpose. And let me remind all of us today, now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, because I really think in some cases we are missing this. Let me remind us today that before we have a responsibility on this plane in life, horizontally, we have a responsibility on this plane. Vertically. Before my response, and by the way, they are connected. And they do not contradict. They go hand in hand. What I see happening today is I'm afraid it's a bad day when we get the priority out of order, because I will never be right in this life horizontally if I am not right in this life vertically. If we are out of place, we are off course with our purpose when we lose sight of doing His will. His will precedes His will prioritized over all other wills. We miss that. We make decisions based on our finances on this level. We make decisions based on our pleasure on this plane. We make decisions based on about this and about that with no consideration of His will. I was not created. You were not created for the purpose of just doing what we want. So that's easy for you to say as a preacher. That's true about every individual. And here's the thing. The sun has no will of its own. Neither does the moon. They are set in place with a purpose. They are fulfilling that purpose simply because they have to. The sun's not going to wake up tomorrow morning and decide not to do its thing. Right? And I suppose there's a measure of glory for God to receive from that, just the design of it all. I know there is. This thing is wonderful, right? Yeah. But you and me, people, come on. We are humans. We're made with a soul, and that soul includes a will, a free will to choose and decide. And how wonderful it is, how blessed it is when God's people aren't just doing the will of God because they have to. They're doing the will of God because they want to. Above everything else. And I'm going to tell you something. There will be. Look. That spirit, that attitude will never make you less of a husband. It will make you more of a husband. That spirit and that attitude won't make you less of a wife. It'll make you more of a wife. It won't make you less of an employee. It will make you more of an employee. And this is the thing, friend. Listen. How wonderful it is, how blessed it is when God's people do His will because they want to, they choose to. I am here, I am set, no matter where it is in my vocation, where I'm living on this earth, I am set here with a purpose, for a purpose, on purpose, with a purpose. And I'm going to live that purpose. I'm going to find out what it is, and I'm going to follow it. Is that not loving God? Is that not honoring God? Is that not glorifying God? Yes, it is. We complicate things. We make things too far complicated. How do I glorify God? I'm going to tell you how you glorify. How do I love God? I'm going to tell you how to love God. Find His will for your life and do it. And make that a priority. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know. What do you have to fear? What do you have to fear? Romans 12:2 tells us. Now, don't miss this. I know it's a familiar verse. I've known that since I was a kid. Learn it. Romans 12:2 tells us that the will of God is good. It's acceptable. And it's perfect. Good, meaning what it means. It means it's good. Acceptable means pleasing and gratifying and fitting. And perfect means full and complete. Who wouldn't want a life defined by good and acceptable and perfect? Who wouldn't want that life? You say, well, I'm afraid. No, you don't have to be afraid. You can be an engineer. You can be a mechanic. You can be a computer technician. You can turn a wrench. You can do whatever you're doing if you'll just pursue what you're doing, first of all, in light of what He wants. And secondly, in light of what happens here. Well, I could never be. I could never be. Brother Gellison over here, he's a van. I could never. By the way, I got a paper to show you, Brother Brent, after church sometime. That's just a P.S. on the side, okay? But I look at him. I could not do what he's doing. That would not be good for me. That would not be pleasing to me. Oh, but he can do that. Go over there and ask Him if it's good. Go over there and ask Him if it's acceptable. Go over and ask Him if it's perfect, if it's full and complete. He'll tell you. You bet. And that's not just for evangelists and pastors. That's for everybody. And that is the life that each one of us has been made for. We've been made on purpose, with a purpose, and set down here to fulfill that purpose. But it starts with God first. First, not second, not 1A, not my co-pilot. No! In charge. Figure out why you were born and start choosing to fulfill it. There's more I have to say, but I'm simply just getting close to being out of time. Important word is close to being out of time. Because one more thought about the will of God and where you've been set. When God made you, He made you for Himself. Sir, you were not made for your wife first. Lady, you were not made for your husband first. Parents, you were not made for your children, nor were the children made for you first. We are made first for Him. For Him. But because of sin, none of us can go live with Him unless we first get saved. And when you get saved, you are given eternal life. And you go to live, when you leave this life, you go to live with Him forever. Which is what He created you to do. What happens if you don't get saved? You go to an awful place called hell that was never made for you. But you will be set there for all of eternity. That's horrible. That's horrible. God made you on purpose, with a purpose, first and foremost, to do His will, to honor Him and glorify Him, and to someday come live with Him. It's never been His will that anybody would die and go to hell and be separated from Him. That has never been His will. And God said, with purpose, with design, God sent me and you here with purpose, with design, to do His will above all else. And that includes trusting His Son for our salvation so that we can spend eternity with Him forever. Amen. That's God's will. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening today. Before I close in prayer, just a couple of things to say and ask here by way of question concerning the message. Who was here this morning would say, Pastor, something that was said throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God resonated with me. Maybe you haven't been as concerned about doing His will as you should have been. Maybe you've lost thought of that, lost sight of it. You've gotten more concerned about your horizontal plane of living than your vertical plane of living. Pastor, there was something that was said, the message this morning, that the Spirit of God just gripped my heart. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air? I will pray for you, and I am ready to pray here in just a moment. Thank you. Take your hands down. I appreciate that. Now, a very important question. Are you saved? That's the reason God made you, is first of all to fellowship with Him and spend eternity with Him forever in heaven. Are you saved? Let me ask it this way. If you know there's been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're saved and you know it for a Bible reason, would you just slip your hand in the air just as a testimony to it? Just be honest with yourself and God today. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there someone here this morning who would say, Pastor, no, I couldn't raise my hand just then. I was honest before God and with myself, and I do not know that I am saved. Would you slip your hand in the air? Just slip it up. That's all I want you. I'm not going to come get you. Just slip it up and say, pray for me. Anybody like that here today? I see a couple of people looking at me. I don't know what, maybe that means God speaking to your heart. I don't know. If you're not sure that you're saved, that's the first reason why God made you. To be born into His family, to come live with Him someday. What do you have to fear by trusting Christ as your Savior? Nothing. But you have everything to fear if you don't. If you're not sure that you're saved, I beg you, I implore you, I ask you, let somebody take a Bible and show you what it means to be born into God's family, to be saved, to have that matter settled. We have men here that speak to men. We have women here that speak to women. It's done one-on-one. If you're not sure that you're saved, all you have to do, when the music begins and the invitation time in just a moment, is step out, make your way to the front, tell one of these men here, I don't know that I'm saved. This is not joining the church. This is not becoming a Baptist. This is becoming a born-again child of God. I beg you, if you're not sure that you're saved, please, you have nothing to fear to get saved, but everything to fear if you don't. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized, that's the will of God. How could you not want to obey the Lord in believer's baptism? You know that's the will of God. Find out what God's will is and do it. You come this morning, or if God spoke to your heart about a certain matter, maybe it's just a pursuit of horizontal things in your life has superseded the pursuit of vertical things. Set your affection on things above, Paul said, not on this earth. You're here to do God's will. Are you doing it? Two great days in a person's life, when they were born and when they figure out why they were born. May this be the start of a great day for you. Father in heaven, take the message. Use it as only you can. Spirit of God, I ask you to work our hearts. You draw people to the truth this morning. I can't do it. I know I can't. You can. And you do, and you will draw people to truth this morning in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask that we stand together. And the ladies are playing a song of invitation, and you raise your hand. Would you step out and obey the Lord this morning? Would you come? God specifically spoke to your heart. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Would you come? I beg you to. I ask you to. I'm not asking you to do anything that you have to be afraid of or scared of. Come and trust Christ this morning. Would you do that? While we wait, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. While we wait, would you come this morning? I invite you to come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's a quiet time. It's a personal time. It's a time when you can come and respond to the work of God in your heart today. While we wait, and our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's pray together. Thank you, ladies. Father, bless, I pray, the message to our hearts this morning. I pray that tomorrow morning we'll wake up with a sense of urgency to do your will above all else in our lives, to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. Whatever, however it works itself out in our life, it's by your design, with your purpose, for a purpose. Thank you for setting us, placing us, putting us in a position where we can follow your will and do it happily from our hearts. Bless the message. I pray for anybody here today not sure that they're saved. Oh God, I pray that, Lord, that little twinge of conviction would stay with their heart through the coming days. May they be drawn to Christ. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.